Hello and welcome to Amateur Radio Topics. I'm Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey, and this is episode number 1, Wire Antennas. This episode covers designing, building and installing wire antennas for the HF bands. Wire antennas have a low visual impact and can be easily supported from a mast, a tree, part of the house. A very economical way to achieve a good signal on all the bands. A good example of a simple wire antenna is a dipole. This is normally half a wavelength long and fed in the centre with a low impedance feed line. The low impedance feed line, typically 50 ohms, RG58 coax or RG213 coax. RG213 is better if you're running a little bit more power or you have a very long feed line to the antenna. There's less loss than RG58. But for practical purposes, in most cases with maybe 100 watts of power, RG58 is fine, and the loss, on certainly on the HF bands, is not really appreciable. The use of the wire is not critical. You can virtually use any wire. You can use 2mm thick, 2.5mm thick enamel copper wire. This is quite good. You can also use plastic or PVC coated wire, stranded wire. This does have a velocity factor which needs to be calculated into the equation when you're working out the length of the antenna, but it's not really that difficult to do. And if you have an SWR bridge or you have an antenna analyzer, most of the adjustments, the final adjustments, can be made once the antenna has been erected, and you can take a look at the frequency response and cut the wire accordingly. The velocity factor normally results in the antenna having to be shortened. So this is an advantage. You can cut to a formula and you can trim the antenna to suit. Probably a good example would be a dipole for 20 meters. This is half a wavelength long, so around about 10 meters in length, fed in the center. And if this can be installed at a height of around about 10 meters, then this will give a good radiation pattern and also gives a reasonably low angle of radiation for working DX. So the angle of radiation will probably be around about 25 degrees, maybe 30 degrees. And this is quite sufficient. You can work plenty of DX with a half-wave dipole mounted half a wavelength above the ground. And 10 meters above the ground is achievable. It's not a huge mast or a huge tree to support this. Obviously, if you're looking at antennas for the lower bands, if you're looking at antennas for 40, 80 and 160, it's a slightly different situation, and you certainly need to get those antennas higher to achieve anything like a lower angle of radiation. But the same formula still applies. If you put a 40mm dipole up, half a wavelength above the ground, so around about 20 meters above the ground, that has good angle of radiation on a bidirectional basis broadside to the antenna. This becomes a little bit more difficult, obviously, on 80 meters and 160 meters, and this is probably where more a vertically polarized antenna comes into play. Anyway, moving back to the 20 meter dipole, this is an antenna that will fit into most gardens, most situations. If you're really squeezed for space, the antenna can be compressed, you can bend the ends down. You can have an inverted V type situation with a single mast support. And an inverted V, ideally, you don't want the angle at the center to be less than 90 degrees, because then you'll start to see some appreciable cancellation of the radiation. Making it into an inverted V does change the proportions of the antenna slightly, but again, you can trim the antenna to suit once it's been installed. So the design is quite forgiving. As many people operate with an antenna that's bent into the circumstances that they've got, and the difference in the performance and the gain is actually not that much. The main thing is to try and get the antenna up into the air as clear as possible. That's important, away from obstructions, and you'll be quite surprised at what you can achieve with such a simple antenna. So that antenna will just cover one band. It's got a resonant frequency on 20 meters. If you want to install a multiband antenna, then things become a little bit more complicated. You can either design and build separate dipoles for each frequency, or you can design a multiband antenna, which is a single wire, which has certain characteristics and maybe an open wire line, feed line, to give you multiband capability. However, probably a good multiband antenna to look at to start with is an antenna that will cover two bands. And this is if you construct a 40-meter dipole. So a 40-meter dipole is 20 meters in length. Again, it's fed in the center with low impedance coax. And the 40-meter dipole will also work quite well on 15 meters, because on 15 meters, a 40-meter dipole is 3 half waves in length. So it presents a low impedance feed point on 15 meters. And it's got quite a nice radiation pattern. It's got a cloverleaf pattern, so it's fairly omnidirectional. And it has a small amount of gain, maybe 1 or 1.5 dB gain. And it also has quite a low angle of radiation. So on 15 meters, a 40 meter dipole works really well. You have a single wire antenna, it will cover two bands. You can also feed these antennas with 75 ohm TV coax. This is absolutely fine. It's very cheap and easily available, and the difference in performance will not be noticed, and the SWR will not change that much at all. In fact, the impedance of a dipole will change in terms of the height above ground. So if it's mounted low to the ground, or if it's mounted up at half wavelength, there will be a difference in the feed point impedance. But generally speaking, on the HF bands with decent coax and reasonable length of coax to the antenna, these are not factors that are really going to be noticeable. In future episodes, we can cover some of the issues surrounding coaxial loss and loss associated with SWR. And when you look at the figures, it's quite surprising. There isn't as much loss there as you think there might be, even from having an SWR of 2 or 2.5 to 1 on the HF bands makes very little difference. So for additional bands, you can simply construct more dipoles and bring the dipole feed lines into the shack with a switching box to select the frequency of your choice. Or in the case of the 40 and 15 meter dipole that we've just described, you could add a 20 meter dipole into the same feed point. This does have some interaction effect with the existing antenna, but this is not too difficult to work out and to trim the antenna lengths accordingly. And there's virtually no difference in the performance by using this arrangement. So then you've got three bands with just a simple dipole with a multiple feed point. And yes, it works quite well, particularly at this stage of the sunspot cycle, 20, 15 and 10 meters. Well, 10 meters is not so good. 40 is still quite good. So if you have an antenna that covers 40, 20 and 15 meters, that's good. Don't worry too much about 10 meters at the moment. The openings, if they exist, are minimal. And so this three band antenna would be a very good starting point. And if it can be erected something like 10 meters above the ground, then you're going to get pretty good low angle of radiation on those three bands. Maybe not so much on 40, but certainly on 20 and 15. It's a good start. If you want to build a multiband antenna that covers more bands, maybe 6, 7 or 8 bands, then there are a couple of designs that work quite well. However, what you really need to be aware of with these multiband antennas is that they really only work very well on maybe 2 or 3 of those frequencies. And on the other frequencies, they're a compromise. And the compromise may not necessarily be the match. You may be able to get a good match to the coax, but quite often the angular radiation is too high for working DX. Now this, in some instances, may be an advantage to you. If you're only interested in working local contacts, maybe 1,000, 1,500 kilometers radius, then having a high angle of radiation can actually help you. So multiband antennas essentially can be designed and built to whatever requirements you would like. The coaxial cables coming back into the shack. This, obviously, if you have a separate feed line for each single dipole, you end up using a lot of coax. Sometimes it's better to design a relay switching box for the base of the mast or close to the tree where the antenna is installed, and have a single run of coax going to the box, and then have multiple coaxes going to each antenna. This works quite well, cuts down on the coaxial run, and it's a very simple thing to implement. So in the next episode, we'll be having a look at things like feed lines, connectors, antenna modeling software, antenna analyzers. Antenna analyzers is very useful. You can model the antenna on a computer and you can build it, and then you can check it with the antenna analyzer. And this saves an awful lot of time. It saves a lot of cut and try, and it's a neat way to build and design antennas. You can get a very good idea of the theory and the implementation of what you've built. And this helps with future designs. So we will cover antenna analyzers, things like dipoles versus verticals. There's advantages to both types of antenna. We've been talking so far about antennas for transmit and receive, but there's a whole range of antennas for receive that are really worth looking at. Certainly on the low bands, on 40, 80 and 160, a separate receive antenna is really useful. This can cut down a lot on the QRN, local man-made noise. It gives a very good signal to noise ratio. And there's times on particularly 80 and 160 meters where with a good receive antenna, you can hear stations that you would never hear on maybe the transmit antenna. The transmit antenna just picks up too much noise, particularly if it's a vertical. So that concludes this episode. We welcome your questions. You can leave a voice message via this podcast or email to hamradiotopics@gmail.com. 73 is from Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey.